ready to talk about 616?
Yeah, we are back and we are ready to just take everyone by the hand and lead you into the 616 world.
I have a nice starting point. Why don't we talk about what 616 means? Because I mean, people say MCU. So like, let's talk about briefly the designation 616. So like, there's a lot of comics, right? And they don't all happen in the same universe. Like we've all been exposed to multiverse and time travel now that we've, you know, presumably all seen the end of MCU. So it's like a similar thing in the comics. And when we're saying 616, we're referring to the main Marvel Comics universe. I say main because it's the biggest, there's the most content for it. There are also other smaller sub-universes. Sign can name more of them than I can, but this includes like Ult, Noir, all of the spin-off
units. Bullet points.
Bullet points.
Bullet points. Don't forget bullet
a
points.
A perennial favorite. There are like all these little sub-universes that sometimes we like dip our toes into. But 616 involves the Avengers, the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, like any Marvel team you can think of, like they, except the Ultimates, they belong in Ult's land, but that's what we mean. So we mean like the dome umbrella under which all of these teams live in their fantasy comics universe.
I was just going to mention that these aren't like consecutively numbered. So there aren't like 615 other comics universes that, and it's not that vast. I mean, maybe it is. I don't actually know how many there are, but they are numbered in a quasi-random way. So the number doesn't reflect how many total universes there are. So if you're staring at the number 616 and being like, that is a lot of comics, how will anybody in the world ever read that many comics? It's not actually that many comics. I mean, it's still a lot of comics and you're not going to be able to read them all, and that's okay, but it might not be as many as you think it is.
I mean, but I think you could read them all. I mean, I kind of have a low key like life goal to read all of the comics. And I want to think that that's possible. Like, I want to believe in it. Like, how many comics are there, do we think? Our start date is like the 40s, right? That's the earliest Marvel thing I can think of.
I mean, do you count timely comics?
I do. What? Okay. Tell us about timely comics, Magic.
Oh, gosh. Well, timely was kind of Marvel before it was named Marvel. So that was like in the 40s, right? That's when Captain America started. As kind of, you know, World War II comic propaganda, you know, to rev up the Allied forces and, you know, just bring entertainment to the masses during that time. And then timely kind of, I think it kind of died, it died its death. But then later on, like in the 60s, I think is when Marvel kind of as a company started like coming into itself and like starting really well-known titles like the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, etc. So there's a lot of history there, but yeah, I guess you could say it started either in the 40s or the 60s, depending on what your start date is.
If you're here for Steve Tony purposes, Steve got his start when Magic was talking about like that in Captain America, the First Avenger, when you see the kids flipping through the comic, that's an actual cover for a Captain America comic that was published. I don't know when that came out. I don't know if it was Captain America number one. Probably that's what it was. But Tony was born in the 60s. So that's when he dates too. So yeah, there is a lot of history. And you can start at the beginning, but like I wouldn't recommend it. There's a lot of ways to get into it. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah. I just want to say, fun fact, Steve and Tony shared a comic title called Tales of Suspense for like 100 issues or so. Oh, yeah. So like really they were always meant to be, because like how the issues work is that like half of the Tales of Suspense issue was about Captain America and half of the Tales of Suspense issue was about Iron Man. Like, they're literally always side by side. So take that as you will.
I think their first meeting is like, isn't that the one where there's a Tony lookalike and it's not really Tony?
Yeah, it's the chameleon.
Right, it's the chameleon. That's their very first meeting.
Impersonating Tony.
Yeah.
That's the first Tales of Suspense issue they're both in, yeah.
I feel like that sets some kind of precedent for their relationship. But at the end of it, they like shake and they make up. They're like, it all came out in the wash, right? It's a real line. I love them. I love them.
Should we also mention how to actually find and acquire comics before we start talking about which ones we like to start with?
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, you can go to your comic book store and, you know, pick up some comics that come out once a week. You can go to a bookstore and you can buy them in graphic novels, which will be collected paperbacks or hardcovers of multiple comic issues. But the way I would recommend for people who want to just see if they like comics is to subscribe to a month of Marvel Unlimited, which is sort of like Netflix, but for comics. So you can read pretty much every comic Marvel has ever made as long as it's older than 3 months old. So if you like anything that we're going to talk about, you can just, you know, go to the website, look it up, start reading the comic. It's they make it really easy these days.
You do. They even have like rec lists put together by Marvel themselves. So like they have like lots of different ways you can filter on it and approach it and like sort through their vast collection of everything they've ever published. But like, I really like that you can be like, I want to read about the Scarlet Witch. And they'll be like, okay, here's everything that Wanda's ever been in, which is like cool. And you can do that for Steve or Tony too, obviously. Maybe we should talk about where we all started reading, because I know that like everybody gets into comics differently. And that's usually people's like question, like, where do I start? There's so much of it. Who wants to feel that?
Where did I start?
Yeah.
Or where do you want other people to start?
No, where did you start? You're right.
Look, I was simultaneously reading Civil War, Hickman Avengers, and Volume 1. So, like, don't start where I started. Pick one of those.
That's valid. Why would you say don't do that?
It might be a little bit much at one time.
Right.
I think we're trying not to overwhelm people.
Right, okay.
I always say to start with Man Out of Time.
Yes.
I think you can't go wrong with Man Out of Time.
Yeah.
And I'll say why.
Please.
Which is that it's a retelling of Steve's origin story and how he meets the Avengers. It's a modern comic, so it will be done more with a modern sensibility and modern artwork and a modern narrative style, which a lot of people might find easier to get into than the older comics, which I like, but they are a bit of an acquired taste sometimes. So this has taken the old story and rewritten it to be more modern. It's a 5-issue miniseries, so it's pretty short. So you will be able to tell very quickly whether or not you like it. And it's also really, really slashy for Steve and Tony. Tony takes Steve to the, the Air and Space Museum and a Radiohead concert, right?
The actual Air and Space Museum, the one in Dulles, not the one in DC proper, which is better. Like the one in Dulles is better. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
I really like the end of it personally for Steve. I don't know if I, can I spoil Man Out of Time?
Yeah, it came out in like 2010. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Steve gets a chance to go back to 1945 at the end. And he goes there and he realizes that he doesn't actually want to be in 1945 at all. It's racist and sexist. And he wants to be in the future where people need him with the Avengers and with Tony. And so he goes right back to the Avengers. He decides to live in the present, and he'll always miss the past, but he knows he lives in the future, the present now. And I think that's really great for Steve. Honestly, that's one of my favorite characterization points about him.
Wow, imagine that.
I know.
Imagine
I feel
the
like
canon
we're
that can do that. I know it's a point of contention for a lot of MCU fans.
So I guess I'll go next. So I'm gonna say like what comics I think you should start with. I totally agree with Sian. It should be Captain America Man Out of Time before the reason she said. And I'll also give an alternate rec, which feels like counterintuitive to the 616 agenda, right? But first of all, I would say that Brian Michael Bendis's New Avengers, Volume 1, it came out in 2004, was really, I think if you had listened to our earlier interview with Barrett, we found out that Avengers are really not that popular, like, for a really long time. And actually, like, Bendis's New Avengers kind of really started making the Avengers, like, kind of popular and like kind of bringing them into the limelight for like the Marvel universe as a whole, because there's a lot of popular characters. You probably all already know, like Wolverine's on the Avengers, Spider-Man's on the Avengers, Steve and Tony are obviously on the Avengers. And it was really kind of meant to like, as like a starting point, but a lot of people, like they really wanted like the Avengers to be more popular and have all these like big names and to have it be like a flagship sort of comic title. And I think it's just fun. Like, and there's a lot of Steve and Tony stuff. Like Steve like looks sadly at Tony and like asks him to start the Avengers again. And Tony wants to say no, but like Steve has his puppy dog eyes and Tony can't say no, right? So that's kind of like issue one or two of the series. And my other rec for starting is, I'm sorry, but I'm actually going to say that the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes cartoon is a great like way to get into like the feeling of 616. And it's a cartoon, by the way. It was two seasons long, but it basically kind of adapted a lot of early 616 stories, because like maybe you'll find like you don't want to read like the really early comics. They have a lot of text, the art's a little older, but like having it in cartoon form like just makes it really palatable. And you can kind of see like, oh, you know, that's who the Wasp is, that's who Ant-Man is, like these really foundational Avengers. And they just adapt like all these early arcs and you kind of get a feeling for like the Avengers as a family. So I think I tell people, yes, read comics, but also watch EMH. It's a great starting point.
I totally agree with that. You stole all of my recs, but I don't even care because you're right. And those are all really, really good places to start. I think I started with Civil War. That's not true. I started with Tales of Suspense, but right after that, I think at the time I was getting into comics, Matt Fraction's run was happening in Iron Man. So that's what was coming out twice a month, I guess. And so that's what I was reading. And that was the Iron Man exposure I had. And I don't recommend that run only because I think that sometimes, we've talked about this before, but I think Sign said it best one time. I think this was you, Sign. And you said Matt Fraction he comes onto these books and he takes established characterization and then he kind of like throws it out the window and he decides like, I'm going to write an OC, but it's going to be Tony Stark, or like Clint Barton is another one I'm thinking of. So I wouldn't recommend Matt Fraction to start. That's Iron Man volume 5. I don't know. They mess with the numbering like halfway through the run. And I don't want to scare people off by talking about numbering because like it's largely nonsense. And I think it should be like ignored. You can always look up like the run you need without knowing what numbering it is.
Ask someone, we'll tell you. Ask us.
Literally.
Come to our Discord and ask us. We have a channel for this.
There's always somebody who knows, and you can be like, it's like Google searching. It's like, I know these keywords, Tony Stark, cut off foot, very sad. And then somebody will be like, oh, you're talking about volume 4, Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'll be like, yes, that's exactly it. that's what you want. I started also that, so then right after that, I jumped to Civil War because I read that fic that Sign read, wrecked. Resurrection, the three R's, that's what I call it because I always-
I didn't wreck that.
You didn't wreck that?
That wasn't me, that was Magic.
Fuck.
Magic wrecked and rendered everything by them.
Fuck, I'm sorry, I have no short-term memory. It's a great wreck, but that's how a lot of people like make the jump from comics to comics fandom, I think, in Steve Tony circles specifically, and so did I. So like I read that and I was like, oh well, this big fight happened, what was that? So I looked it up and that was Civil War, and I read it and I got to this one issue and it's called The Confession, and you'll know it when you see it. And I don't want to spoil, now I'm the one who's like, I don't want to spoil this, but it came out in 2006, so Steve is dead, right? He's dead and his body is cold, and Tony goes to visit his body and he talks to him for a whole issue. And this is also written by Brian Michael Bendis, whose Avengers run is like still one of the best for me, like hands down top 5 comics things ever that I've enjoyed. Steve's body is on this table and Tony sits next to it and he cries. And the last page is like incredibly gay. And I read this and I sat back and I was like deeply moved by it. And I was like, is this real? And then I was like, do they have like a canonical homosexual relationship in the comics? They don't. I mean, we've spent many hours and many words making the case for it, obviously, in our fandom. but they don't as of right now. But reading this issue made me think maybe they do. So I wouldn't really recommend Civil War, the event as a whole, for reasons I mentioned in the early interview part. Like, it's a Bush era event. It's very clear. Nobody really wants to revisit the Patriot Act. A lot of it is very blatantly the writers putting these heroes in positions that they would never be in and making them act out of character compared to what came before. But there is a lot of like, and I don't really like seeing my heroes fight. Like, that's not a thing. That's not a flavor I particularly seek out in my comics, but I do really live for interpersonal relationship angst. And the relationship that Steve and Tony have in 616 is so intimate, like not in a sexual way, but like, I would liken it, like the closest media relationship I think I could liken it to is like Kirk and Spock, in the sense that they have been deep, deep close friends for years and years and years. And like, they can predict the moves that the other is going to make, right? And they really don't want to fight. And when they do fight, it's rare and it's big and it's ugly. And I like the complexities of that. So that's what Civil War really brings to the table. Yeah.
I think, Keith, since you were talking about Civil War, I think we could also talk about, so there's a lot of comics out there with Steve or Tony and Steve and Tony, but it really feels like 616 fan, like Steve Tony fandom really focuses in on particular runs, particular eras. So do you want to maybe, we can maybe talk about like very famous like runs or comics that you should probably read if you really want to get involved in fandom, of which like Civil War is absolutely, like, I would say it's the number one. Like, you need to read Civil War if you want to get into 616 Tony fandom, because it's kind of like foundational for the fandom. But there's a few other comics too that like are really famous in the fandom if you want to read fic and you want to like start writing fic that people kind of gather around.
Yeah, that's a really great point. It is really, I would say it's required reading. I just wouldn't start there. The three of us actually wrote a getting into comics document, which is like really useful. And I'm going to refer to it now because I can't keep everything in my brain pan. But who has events they want to start with like that or moments?
I don't know that I wanted to start talking about it, but I feel like since you mentioned the confession, I want to mention The Oath.
Yes. Oh,
gosh.
So The Oath is the end of the event Civil War II. So if you liked Civil War or if you hated Civil War, it doesn't matter because there's another one anyway.
Marvel
so
likes to Civil do War that. II,
yeah. They're like, you like the first one? You'll like the second one. You bought the first one, you'll buy the second one.
Right. And they don't really have anything to do with each other. Like, that's usually the rule. If something is named the same thing as an earlier thing, it probably doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, they just like reusing the names. Okay, so The Oath is the end of Civil War II. So there's a really famous panel at the end of the confession that Kiara was referring to, where Steve is dead and Tony is sitting next to his body. And The Oath pretty much opens with that in reverse, where Tony is in a coma because Carol has shot him at the end of Civil War II. And Steve is sitting there next to him. So I should also mention at this point that Steve is evil. So a lot of, there are some contentious feelings, I guess you would call them, about this run because of the particular way in which Steve is evil. But the important thing for our purposes is that we have a canonical love confession.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a canonical love confession, but there's caveats to it because Marvel doesn't let us have nice things. So during this run, Steve is Hydra. Don't worry about it. It gets fixed. It's a mess. As Sign said, there are lots of contentious feelings. And okay, so what happens in the event right before this event is an event where they make Carol and Tony, this is the event. So Civil War II, that's what we were talking about. They make Carol and Tony, who have been like very, very long time friends, fight. And like the whole big climax of this event is like an airborne fight where Carol punches Tony over something really dumb and Tony ends up in a coma. So in this panel Sign is referring to, Tony is in a coma and he's in like this little pod that's not explained till this day, but that like keeps him alive somehow and, preserved. And so at this point, Steve goes in, he like sits next to him and he says, I loved you. Well, he's referring to like his former like non-evil self. And he's like, he loved you even when we fought. Like that's written down in words. It's explicit, but it's made when Steve is evil. So like, it's complicated, I guess. Yeah. I would say.
I think the explanation ended up being like this Hydra cap had every single like memory and he knew like what, like the regular Steve, like the Steve we know and love, like felt, right? So like he like kind of was like this evil observer who was looking at this Steve's feelings and was like, well, obviously like this is love, like he, this guy obviously loved Tony and he is not really happy about it, like, and he kind of uses that love like a mocking, like, because he's evil in Hydra, but you know,
right? I think he sees it as a weakness almost, like he sees it as something that prevents him from fulfilling his true evil destiny, like it's holding him back, Tony. Because they're such like a huge part of each other's lives, for better or for worse. Not to use marriage language, but like they're kind of married.
I mean, there's...
They're kind of compared to a marriage several times.
Yeah. They are. Even the Avengers do it all the time. They're like, mom and dad are fighting. Yeah. You know, let them work it out. There's this one scene that comes to mind during... what is the run when they're in New Adelan? And it's snowing and all the Avengers are looking on while Steve and Tony fight. Like very loudly and in like, I think it must be Bendis because there's a lot of speech bubbles. you know what I'm talking about though, right? I don't know what issue it is, but they're arguing and Steve has come back from the dead and he's wearing this new like blue commander suit and he has like the balance of power is slightly different and they're both still mad at each other. And they're like trying really hard to work through their grief and like their resentment and they're fighting like very publicly in the snow as if the rest of the world has like fallen away. And I know it's comics and I know that you can argue things about like field of view and like how much you want to show and how framing works, but like this is just a repeating thing with them. Their disagreements are, I would say, as public as their affection often.
And in that scene, one of the other characters watching them fight says something like, they love each other, they just have some stuff to work out.
Yeah, that's a really good summary of them in 616,
that's
their
relationship, really.
It is their relationship. But they always come back to each other, which is really touching. And it makes me keep reading them because there's just like, there's so much to experience with them on the like emotionally over and over again.
Yeah, and I feel like they also know it. Like we talked about like how they kind of feel like a marriage, but at the end of this mini series called Avengers Prime, which was kind of their aftermath of Civil War, and they're still like feeling a little hurt with each other, even though they still love each other. The ending of Avengers Prime is basically Tony like turning to Steve and just like telling him, like, I don't remember the exact words, but it's basically along the lines of, you know, like, you make me a better person. Like, I always, like, I want to be by your side because you make me a better person, which sounds like something you would say in your marriage vows. So, and then Steve just hugs him, by the way. So, you know, they know they're better together. So it hurts when they're not together.
Right. I would also, just to interject, that's a really good starting place, I would argue. I know it's like, it's weird because it happens in the middle of all these, like, really intense events with lots of backstory. But part of the fun of reading comics is like you can kind of dive in anywhere to a point. I'm going to regret saying this later, but I do think if you're the type of personality who like is like, oh, I'll just sample it, like this is a fun place to sample because it's a self-contained 5-issue series. And if you like it, it will lead you to like go back and be like, oh, well, what were they talking about here? And then it'll like lead you to several jumping off points to keep exploring the larger comics universe. I love Avengers Prime.
Can we talk about identity porn? I want to talk about identity porn now because that's an important difference between comics and the MCU.
Yeah, why don't you define that for us since you write it in every other fic you write? I mean it so fondly.
Oh, I know. Okay, so identity porn is actually a term we owe to DC Comics fandom. So
really?
It's intended to describe, okay. Petra actually came up with it.
All right.
So it's for fic about the relationship between two characters where one of them is secretly two people and the other character doesn't know that, basically. So like in DC, it would be the like Clark Kent, Superman, Lois Lane kind of thing.
Okay.
So like, you know how at the end of Iron Man 1, Tony is supposed to tell everybody that Iron Man is his bodyguard and he goes off script and tells them that he's Iron Man. So 616 is like that, except he just pretends to be his bodyguard for like 20 straight years. He pretends to be his bodyguard 20 straight years to the Avengers, I should say, and like 40 straight years to everyone else. So nobody knows that Tony and Iron Man are the same person.
He lives in a house with these people, which is why I'm laughing. It's like the flimsiest fucking like premise ever, but you know, it works for him, I guess, until it doesn't, of course.
Until a villain peels him out of his armor and leaves him standing there in his red thong and Steve staring at him and being like, Iron Man?
Right.
You're Tony? Tony, you're Iron Man?
At this point,
there's a lot of nudity in comics.
Yeah, that's a perk, actually. Nudity. There's a lot of nudity. You might be thinking at this point, that can't possibly be canon. Tony Stark standing there in a red thong, it's more likely than you think. It is not hyperbole. That's really what happens. Again, perk. This is a thing that MCU doesn't have. They don't have identity porn at any point, and I feel like it's really foundational to Steve and Tony's relationship. Because Steve is on a team with Iron Man, right? They fight together. They live together. But, you know, I feel like, think of the relationship confessional potential in this identity porn. A lot of fan works in 616, especially like centering on early canon, explore this. Tony drops this eventually, and then there's a few times where he like mind wipes people so he can keep up the ruse again, and then like comes out. I think that happens twice. Sign probably will correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that sounds right.
Yeah, it's twice. And then by the time we're into like modern age, I would say, I think by the time we're in volume 4, we've dispensed with the identity porn premise and everybody just knows that Tony Stark is Iron Man publicly, and it's not, we haven't gone back from that point. But
the middle of Civil War, he comes out actually.
The middle of Civil, oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's the front lines, number one. He gives a press conference and he says that he wants to unmask to prove that, you know, he's putting his money where his mouth is with respect to registration. And he pulls off his helmet and he says, my name is Tony Stark and I'm an alcoholic.
Oh,
I forgot Tony. About that because, yeah, Tony. I forgot about that.
So that's, you know, your major character beats right there for Tony, huh?
Like all of them lined up. Yeah. So I was thinking about volume 3 where I think he's briefly unmasked, and I was carrying that over to volume 4, which is where that was coming from.
Yeah. Where he saves the dog.
Yeah,
he
risks his superhero identity to save a puppy. This is also real. He like jumps in front of a car and it looks very much like a spaniel puppy, so like close to my heart. I love that panel. That's also a really fine distillation of Tony Stark's character because he's quite different from MCU. In my opinion, it's subtle, but like his character beats are like definitely distinct. I think we should talk about that for both Steven for Tony, because it's like a draw for me.
Yeah, definitely. Before we go into like the characters, can we talk a little bit about how like Tony gave Steve a home, just as if we're talking about like how Steve and Tony's relationship is different?
Oh yeah.
Yep. So in 616, the Avengers are not related to S.H.I.E.L.D. like when they start off. They're just a group of superheroes that all come together and realize, hey, we work better as a team, so we'll just do our thing. And Tony is part of these Avengers. There's also the Wasp and Ant-Man and Thor and Hulk for like 2 issues. But anyway, they are the ones who find Steve in the ice. So that means they are the ones who defrost Steve, and they are the first people that he talks to when he gets defrosted. So actually, like, Iron Man is the first voice Steve ever hears out of the ice, which I find so romantic, and Tony does too, because he always talks about how he can never forget the day that he met Steve Rogers. So, but anyway, like,
they're so in love.
So yeah, but then Tony was like, because he's still keeping up his like identity porn thing, like, oh, you know, no one knows Tony Stark and Iron Man are the same people, but since he's bodyguarding for Tony Stark, Tony like offers up the Avengers mansion to the Avengers. They're like, we know since we're a team now, we should have like a team headquarters. So they all have rooms in the Avengers mansion. They all gather there, like they all live together. So like Steve, that is like a really important part of like Tony and Steve's characterization. 616, they were never really like alone in like the superhero sense. They always had like a support network of superheroes, like from the very beginning, which really dramatically, drastically changed like everything about like how they think about superheroes and everything. But anyways, I said Tony gave Steve a home because like there is totally a panel that they reference in Civil War, and where
that's
kind of the namesake, yeah, the namesake of our Discord server, where Steve tells Tony, "You gave me a home." So
it's really touching. I just think they're neat.
They're friends at the beginning too. We should say that they're friends at the beginning. None of this like MCU frenemy stuff, like learning to love each other. They already love each other. Yep. They just start out loving each other.
Right.
It's a little weird, actually.
It's very
actually.
Like friends to friends for like decades to enemies to friends to enemies to friends to enemies. And then hopefully we will write in the lovers a bit to lovers a bit. But yeah, they're very much friends as like a baseline for their relationship.
Right. I feel like keeping them as like part of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the MCU really detracts from their friendship and like their ability to be friends. That's not really a S.H.I.E.L.D. problem. That's more of like a military industrial advertising problem, which I don't really think, I mean, the comics do suffer from that to an extent also. Like Tony is like an ethical billionaire fantasy, right? And Steve is literal war propaganda, which is really fascinating to think about, because we've come like a very long way from that in 2020, but like also not so far. Just thoughts.
So you want to talk about the character differences in between Steve and Tony in their comics and movie?
Yeah. It was something you said in the interview section that I wrote down, which was, I understand why people would follow Captain America, which is, and that's like a lot more present for me in 616 than it is in MCU. And I'm trying to think about why that is. And I don't quite have an answer yet, but like, I'm going to come up with one. Steve is like fundamentally, I don't know. Steve has a lot of anger issues in 616, but it's on top of like, I don't know. What do you think, Sine? What do you think about the character?
About what makes him followable?
Yeah, in 616.
I think actually it's like a consequence of how much canon there is, like the weight of history on him. He has like, MCU takes place in more or less real time.
Right.
Right. So like they've only been, you know, together for, you know, X many years. I don't even know what the MCU chronology is, don't ask me. But like comics just keep shoving more and more and more into this 10 or 15 year time span, so that Steve is always the person you go to who has a track record of being able to like save the world or the galaxy or the universe, the multiverse. You know, he's done it before. Like, you know, nobody is going to be intimidated by Ultron, because that's just Ultron and they can do that. They can fight, you know, Ultron or Thanos. They've thought like Thanos like, you know, 5 or 6 times now, probably, you know, sometimes they've died and come back.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can, whatever it is, he's got this. Like he can lead the team. He can save the world. Like, and everybody knows that about him.
And I think people trust him. Like, I think people see him as like a confidant and a rock, not the X-Men, obviously, but like the Avengers. The X-Men don't like Steve. Like he's very different if you start on the X side of things, and like that's probably okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is true for both Steve and Tony, but I guess we're talking about Steve right now. Like he's like over the span of his many decades of comics, like he has had to grapple with like being quote unquote Captain America and like having to like represent America and what that means, like when you look at like America's history. And it's something like he has like let go of the shield for this. Like, he has like given it back and be and like said, like, I can't like do this, you know, like I can't be an icon for like a country that I don't feel really like represents my ideals. And so he does like a lot of soul searching, and he's actually like quite like introspective too, which I think Tony is as well, but there's a lot of that sort of stuff in the comics. But then in the end, like, well, it's like comics never change, but also like, you know, and usually Steve like has to kind of come back and be like, well, you know, like I still want to like do the most good I can in the world. So even if I have like these like moral issues and ethical issues, like, I still feel like I'll do like, I could be like the best person I can be and like help people the most if I am Captain America. So I also feel like that also like to me makes him feel like more followable. Like, he's definitely someone who's grappled with a lot of these issues over the years. So I like that about him.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that answer.
I do too. That was really well said. I do like that he thinks about his role as a mascot, and how he doesn't want to be that. But he also think he's got a line, and he like every once in a while he has a tantrum and he's like, I'm not going to be Captain America anymore. And usually it's for really good reasons. But in one of them, he's like, my only duty is to the dream or something, or like, I'm loyal only to the dream, you know, like rather than America, because he's Captain America. But I think he's really acutely aware of his history, and but he's not willing to like wear it just because it's a thing he's done, you know. Like, he does grow and change as a character over the years, but like also he's more stubborn than God, Jesus Christ, in 616, and it leads to fights, I would say.
So can I build on that a little and go back to something that I guess both you and Magic were talking about, which is that I think that Steve often has a lot of angst about how to live up to being Captain America and being this symbol that is larger than himself, when he knows that he is only just a person, and that he often wonders who he is when he's not Captain America. Like, what would he do? Can he have a normal life? Is that a possibility for him? What would it look like? You know, how can he like be Steve and Captain America at the same time? Which I think is really interesting when you contrast it with Tony, whose major source of angst, I would argue, is that he doesn't want to be Tony Stark.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. That's Tony's main conflict, like, to this day. which I love. I mean, he's a big angst muffin and an emo kid, and he cries in a corner a lot, often as he's like racing to plug in his heart before it fails. And he's like very dramatic, and he monologues dramatically about like, woe is me, I don't deserve to be happy, blah blah blah. But he like it's sort of not his fault. And I'm gonna say, this is why I'm gonna say that, like, so Tony's origin story in the comics, it used to be he was in Vietnam, and now it's been retconned to Afghanistan, so we call it Vietganistan. And
something new now, actually.
Oh, what is it now?
It is now Siang Kong, which is an entirely fictional country in which the fictional Siang Kong War took place, because I guess we've decided to divorce all of this from Vietnam now.
Cool. So Tony is in a war, and it's a messy war. It's not like a clean cut war. I'm making air quotes with my fingers. You can't see me. I'm being sarcastic. I feel like Steve has a different experience as in war than Tony does, because World War II was very different than a conflict like Vietnam, where it's long, it's drawn out, it's messy, nobody wants to be in it. The US won't fucking pull out. So Tony is in a war, and he's in an accident, and he is forced to build weapons in most versions. And he's like, fuck that, I'm going to build myself a suit. But also his heart is damaged in the process. So he's forced in 616 to wear this chest plate in early canon. He can't ever take it off. It's part of his body. So his origin story is like a disabling event for him. Whereas Steve is like the polar opposite, and he goes from a scrawny thing to like big powerful man, right? Which is like a totally different thing, which also fascinates me endlessly. But Tony is coming from this place of like, okay, well, now I have this thing on my chest, and like I have these abilities, and I should do something with it, right? Like, I should do good. So he's a hero, but he's also very torn, because he's like, I think he fundamentally sees Iron Man as like the better version of him, but also totally separate from him. And sometimes I think he's frequently more ashamed of being Tony Stark, and he would like to just disappear into Iron Man, which really feeds into his identity porn problem. And like,
he does say that actually.
What does he say?
It's the end of Demon in a Bottle. Before he, you know, finally decides not to drink, he's, you know, this is where the like rock bottom as far as Demon in a Bottle goes. As we all know, it gets worse than that. But he says something like, being Tony Stark is causing all of my problems. I'll just stop being Tony Stark.
Right. Exactly. Tony.
That's the dream.
If only we could all slough it on and off like a chameleon skin. But he really can't. Like, he really can't leave the identity of Iron Man, which I think is really fascinating, in sort of a similar way that parallels the way Steve can't like leave Captain America because he's so iconic. But like, they're very different. Parallel, but not the same.
Yeah, I guess they both kind of have their issues with like being Steve and Tony versus like Captain America and Iron Man. But I mean, like, they're linked, and they understand each other too, I think.
Right.
At some level.
There's also the piece of them both like being larger than life. Tony Stark first, probably, and then Steve's piece is Cap, who would be larger than life. Although like Steve Rogers does become like a very, like, I would say, we were talking about like why can you rely on Cap, and it's because you can rely on Steve Rogers, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we're really getting into it.
There's so much to get into.
I know, like, there's so much like stuff to like, they're foils of each other, right? And it's yeah. Very intentional that they're foils to each other. So if you start talking about one, you're gonna start talking about the other, like, because the Avengers definitely like puts them up as two people who are very similar but very different at the same time. And you know, like, a little, I don't know, like, literary analysis, media analysis brain loves it. So they're very fun.
It is very satisfying to think about that. There are so many layers, and they are a set. You can just bounce them off each other all day. That was a little dirty. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to sound that way. I meant thematically. Man.
Are there any big comics moments that we like to write and talk about that we've missed?
Oh, we should talk about Tony's alcoholism.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. And Red Zone, maybe. I don't know. That's like a moment. That's not like required. It's just fun.
Red Zone is where their lips meet. There's a whole page of their lips touching. It's great.
Very romantic. Like the way the page was drawn. Like, yeah, you see the, like, silhouettes.
Yeah, against like a sunset-y kind of background. It definitely looks like they're kissing, and there's like debris around them, and like one of the pieces of debris looks like a little heart. We're also not making this up. It's real. Oh, also the Illuminati, probably we should talk about. That's a thing.
Okay.
Although that's newer. It's not as important.
Yeah, I definitely think Tony's alcoholism is definitely gigantic.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about his alcoholism. So what do we have in terms of that in MCU? Not a lot. We got kind of like a lukewarm take on it in Iron Man 2, and it's not really addressed or talked about, but in 616 it's a huge characterization point, to the point where he loses his company and almost dies because of it, and then spends the rest of his continuity trying to stay sober and largely being very successful at that. But I think the magnitude of that for him is notable in the sense that like he doesn't, like, authors don't let him slip back into his alcoholism like all that much. The few points it happens are like few and far between, and he is always very, very, very upset about it. And like the clock resets immediately. So I think that it is you can mark how big it is by how much people don't touch it, because you can retcon lots of things, but I don't think that's one of them.
I was so tempted to say that the second drinking arc was my favorite in the previous segment. I love that arc so much.
It's a good choice.
So, yeah. So the arc, he has two big alcoholism arcs. The one with name recognition is Demon in a Bottle, which is the first drinking arc. And that's the one that everybody like has heard of as the drinking arc. It's one where Tony's armor is manipulated. So he kills someone against his will while he's in the armor. And this really messes it up. And he starts drinking and goes through that. And the thing is, that's only like 8-9 issues long. Maybe he gets sober in like a page. There's like what this one big splash page. And it's like, and at the end, you know, he's fine. And like he's just going to go on. And then a couple years later, Denny O'Neil starts writing Iron Man, and he's like, no, we're going to really delve into this. So there's the second drinking arc, which doesn't really have a name, so we just call it the second one. And this is like 40 entire issues. Like he spends 20 issues hitting rock bottom until he's like freezing to death in a snowstorm. And then there's 20 more issues like building him back up and like really getting into like his recovery and his sobriety. And like it spends a lot of time in it in a way that like I think is honestly really like great. So if you like Tony angst, like that is, if you like his alcoholism angst, I guess that is what you should read.
I don't know what I was going to say about that. Oh, I was going to say, yes, these arcs happen in the 80s. The character delving is really, really thoughtful in a way that few arcs since have been. That was my point that I really wanted to make about the alcoholism thing. Because he's so upset and he's like, he's being crushed by it. And I feel like other arcs of his have like touched on depression, but nothing touches on his addiction like this. And like, he has a lot of metamorphosis arcs, I would say. And he is forced to re-envision himself and like rebuild himself in a myriad, in like myriad ways over time. Right. But it's like rock bottom here. It is the lowest low. So, you know, all you angst weasels out there, that one might be for you. Steve's in it too, by the way. It's a point of contention in their relationship. Not only in this issue, but also, you know, moving forward in the timeline. But in this issue, I mean, sorry, not this issue, this run, this arc, Steve visits Tony in this shitty motel room and a flop house, and there's a fire, and Tony's like really drunk, and he's got like facial hair that he hasn't shaved, and he's really sad. And Steve yells at him actually because he sees it as like kind of a failure of character. And that's, I wish they would address that. That's one thing I would like to see addressed again someday. And Steve yells at him, and you know, and then this building goes up in flames, and he carries Tony bridal style out of it and goes back. But he says, a man has to want to be helped. Let me know when you do, which I'm sure was sort of a reflection on how alcoholism was seen at the time as a moral failing, and not like a disease. but that's really interesting. And that's, I think that's one of Steve's lowest moments as well because of that.
I have a question for you. I have a question for everybody. What's your favorite canon moment that we haven't talked about yet? What's your favorite slashy moment in the slashy moments list?
Oh, we should talk about what the slashy moments list is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
Why don't you do that? You brought it up.
So the slashy moments list is a list administered by the Cap Iron Man community, formerly on LiveJournal, now on DreamWidth and every other platform. So one of the things that they do, in addition to running all of the challenges, which you have probably seen since they also accept MCU work, they maintain the slashy moments list of basically every panel in the comics that anyone thought was slashy, like cross-reference. There's an index and you can, you know, pull up your favorite slashy moment. It's very useful and fun.
And it's very long. Because it's every slashy moment ever, and there are so many of them.
Yeah. I think it ends at around, like, they have a updated it since like 2010-ish or so, but there's still a lot before that. So I guess to answer the question of top canon moment that we haven't talked about yet, I want to talk about the Azir Eyes issue, which is it's a one-off issue. It's Tales of Suspense. I actually have it pulled up on my tab now because I'm on the Slashy Moments list. Tales of Suspense, Volume 2, 1995. And, well, like the super slashy bit that, you know, like you probably have seen in panels is like Tony, his internal monologue. He's thinking about Captain America. I look at your handsome face into your clear azure eyes. And, you know, that's really, really gay. But what I really like about that canon moment is basically it's Steve and Tony internal monologuing about each other and their thoughts on each other. And so for Tony, first of all, he's thinking like Steve is super handsome, but he's also thinking that, like, you know, Steve is such like a good person who like will do good. And like, he sees kind of in Steve, like someone who like doesn't have the same insecurities that Tony does as a person. Cause you know, Tony has a lot of self-worth issues, and he sees Steve and he's like, this man is like amazing and I like think he's the best and et cetera. But at the same time, Steve is in his internal monologue about Tony, he's thinking like, wow, like Tony Stark is so cool. Like I'm like this guy who came from the past. I can't innovate. Like I'm just like, I just do what I do, but like, I can't like build the future. Like, I'm not like, I don't have that sort of thinking or that sort of brain for that, but Tony can. Like, he's the person who like is going to shape the future. So at the same time, they're looking at each other, they're working with each other, and they're like, wow, this other person is so much more amazing than I am. But it's like they're kind of like jealous and they're like having an inferiority complex. They also like are very much like, wow, this person's like amazing. They always like want to like work together and like be this person's friend because they're just so cool. But yeah, but that's a very fun issue.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. Do you want me to go next? Or do you have one in mind? Okay, mine's angsty.
I'm still looking.
Okay, so I'll go. Mine's angsty. Mine is, again, from Civil War. I was going to say the confession at the very end, but actually, I really like Casualties of War better, which is a little interlude where Steve and Tony go to the ruins of Avengers Mansion. That happened in a dark period. Don't worry about it. If you get into comics, you'll learn all about it. It happened during Avengers Disassembled, and we don't like to speak of it. But they go to the ruins of Avengers Mansion to like parlay in the middle of their big international socio-political fight about this Superhero Registration Act, right? And they want to see if there's like one last time that they can, you know, try and speak with each other as just Steve and Tony and like fix it before more people die, because their friends have died at this point, and it's bad. And they're both angry and they're both sad, and they come and they end up fighting. And there's just this moment where they're like, one of them is like, I wish we should have talked sooner, and the other is like, yeah. And it's just a panel of them next to each other, and they're like looking away from each other, and then they leave in silence. It really hits me because like you can feel decades of friendship being unraveled in that moment. That's the shit I love. But then it gets fixed in Avengers Prime. So like the hug at the end is like really, really choice, because Tony's speech is like, look, I love you. He doesn't say I love you, but like he basically says I love you. He's just like, you make me better. There's nobody I'd rather be standing next to than you. Like I really want to earn your trust and your friendship back again. And Steve, as Magic mentioned earlier, is like so overcome by this. And he just hugs Tony because words fail him. And that's them. That's their whole thing. And I love them. So those two are mine. What about you, Sign?
I hope we didn't steal yours.
No. I'm going with one that I don't think anybody ever mentions, but it's just a little moment on the Slashy Moments list here.
Please.
It's from Avengers 140, I don't know the number, doesn't matter, does it? So before I give my Slashy moment, I need to preface this with the explanation that Steve and Tony are not always Avengers at the same time. the Avengers roster changes a lot over the years, and it is not always the case that they will both be on the team at the same time. And this moment is from one of them, a moment when they're not actually continuously on the team. Okay. Avengers Volume 1, 144. So this is the middle of a mission, and they're like saving somebody, they're on the way out. It's just like a little moment, and they're working together, and they haven't worked together in a while. And they're running out of this building with this random other character. And Steve just says, so Tony has been addressing Steve, obviously. He's been addressing him specifically as Winghead, which is one of Steve's canonical nicknames, as you know. And Steve just turns to him and says, "You know, Shellhead, nobody's called me Winghead like you just did since I left the Avengers last year. I miss it." Mm. And it's just like, it's just a little thing, but it's just like, I'm just like, aw, you know, like, it's really sweet. They have all these nicknames. They just really like each other. I mean, sometimes they try to kill each other, but they just really like each other.
Yeah. Winghead Shellhead is important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their thing. They're so good. Thank God we have the slashy moments list. If we want to segue to talking about fandom spaces, it's a great way to do it. So this fandom was born, I feel like this fandom pretty much grew up around Elspeth and Sanchai's fic. Like, I feel like that's what started everything. And this live journal community grew up around it, like at the end of the 2000s. And that is what we have, that's what we call Cap Iron Man now. But fandom is a little harder to pin down right now, sort of like, you know, it's fandom generally has moved from space to space, and this fandom is no different. But I feel like we've moved away from LiveJournal and DreamWidth, and like, this fandom is a lot more decentralized right now. Like, some of it's still on Tumblr, but Tumblr really messed up shit when they did their porn ban. And Twitter is like kind of a nightmare for fandom. And then, so we're seeing like a lot of smaller communities pop up on Discord in the last few years, but I don't know if that's where the future of it is. I feel like it's just like a stopover point right now. I'm not sure. I'd like to be proven wrong, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, when I came into fandom, I was on that Cap Iron Man IRC like every day, and we moved over to Discord. Like, the reason that us three were invited by Baird and Flame, thank you, was because we are the Discord server mods of a 616 Steve Tony server, which I feel like it's kind of become like a central place for 616 Steve Tony fandom. Maybe I'm just like have a big ego here, but we do have like quite a number of members, and we talk about comic Steve Tony all day. So
all day, every day. I really don't have a sense of like where 616 fandom is happening other than our server, it's almost 900 members right now. And we're coming up on our fourth birthday. It's like a fancy IRC. If you don't remember IRC, it's like chat room. No, that's also old. I'm dating all of us. I'm sorry. I don't like looking time in the face. It's like a fancy chat room with like multiple channels, so you can have multiple discussions going on at the same time. And it's like fairly anonymous, I would say, in a way that Twitter is not. I feel like that's really essential for fandom spaces to like last, is anonymity. And Tumblr really did a good job of that until they imploded. I mean, they still do a good job. It's just that I don't think many people are like doing fandom actively on Tumblr as much as they were in like, I don't know, the mid 2010s. So I do think Discord is like a hub. I don't know if it's the hub. I choose to believe what Magic said. I choose to believe like Discord is the hub.
I just want to hype some of our many fine features that we offer to the Steve Tony community on our Discord. You can just, if you want to know anything about comic Steve Tony, somebody on our server will probably either know it or know who to ask who will know it. So if you want to get into the comics, if you just don't even want to read comics, but you just want to read the fic, if you just want to talk about anything involving comics, Steve, Tony, we are there for you. Like, we just want to, you know, share our love of comics, Steve, Tony. We have book clubs at a theoretically bi-week interval where we pick a particular comic or run or set of comics, and we all read them and talk about them and share panels. We discuss the weekly comics as they are coming out. We have a channel for that where you can talk about the comic that you just read that just came out today, because
and how much you love it.
Yeah. So one of the great things about comics actually is that there is canon every week. Every single Wednesday, there will be more comics.
Yeah.
For eternity.
Something will come out on a Wednesday. It is known.
Yeah. So you can come there and talk about that. Or you can ask questions about canon. You can, what else do we do?
We have a healthy prompt feed where you can like give people the prompts that you will never write yourself, or like, you know, just a cool idea you had, you can share it with people. We have a brainstorming channel for fan creators to be like, hey, I have this idea, how could I make it better or worse, or like help me figure this bit of my thing out, you know, which is also cool. But I think my favorite thing about our server is that we have a lot of fans that are like, that have been in comics fandom for decades. And they have so much knowledge to share, and it is so cool that we get to interact with them. Like, that, I think that's cool. It's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Just having, you know, being able to talk with like-minded people is kind of like the joy of fandom, and we totally have that for 616 Steve Tony fans, or, you know, fans who want to get into 616 comics. I will also say I don't know if you two use this, I use our AO3 feed because it pulls all the Steve Tony works tagged 616 into a feed, and I don't even check AO3 anymore. I just check the feed to see if there's new 616 stuff. So just useful things like that.
Yeah, we just have lots of little tips and tricks. Also, we have like really good emoji, but they are adult emoji. So unfortunately it is an adult only space, and that's because
it's 18 plus, because we just really wanted to talk about things freely without having to worry about like legality.
The legality.
Yeah,
the legality.
Because, you know, we talked about how Steve and Tony love each other, and that means we also talk a lot about how Steve and Tony love each other in like physical ways too. So, you know, not for the minors in there.
So we designed this to be an adult space for discussing comics. And really the impetus for the creation of this server was that MCU blew up. Like, it did not just waltz onto the scene. It waltzed onto the scene and gave us like a show. And then it lodged itself firmly in the minds of everybody, like even tangentially in Marvel fandom, and it never left. So Steve Tony fandom kind of got taken over by MCU, but a lot of us prefer to swim around in the comics waters just because like it's what we knew for a long time before that, and we wanted a space where every discussion wasn't being dominated by talking about what was going on in the movies, because they're very different versions of the characters. Like, I would go so far as to say that they're like different characters. I don't know how you two feel about that, but that's kind of the logic behind the space and how we made it and how we built it.
We want to celebrate what we love.
Yeah, and we really love these fucking comics. Like, I don't think I'll ever be free. Stop laughing at me.
No, it's
we should end on that.
It's okay. We'll still definitely talk like very in-depth MCU with you, just in the off-topic channel.
Right. That's really our only rule, other than the 18 plus. Like, if you talk about MCU for a really long time, you have to go to off-topic to do it. But like, everybody in there also has spicy MCU opinions and is eager to talk about them under the right circumstances. Okay, so that was like a really roundabout trip through 616 and kind of the vibes of it and the fandom vibes. And I hope that it has encouraged people to, especially with the ending of MCU, to like seek out these different canons and like sort of dip your toes in. And I just want people to know who are listening, like, if you've never read a comic, that's fine. If you'd like to read a comic, please trust that there are so many people who would like to help you read the comics. And one resource is obviously our server, but I'm sure there are other comics corners out there. And like, read a comic, read a fic, see what you think of it. Get a flavor, I guess, is what I would tell anybody looking to get into this whole thing. Book club is a really good place to start. That's me plugging the server. It's great. Come join, come hang out if you want. And don't be afraid to, like, I don't know, branch out, try something new. You might find that you love it here.
And I think Barrett said that this episode's coming out like in the middle of our little 616 day festivities. Because, well, on the American calendar system, like June 16th, you could kind of read that as 6/16, right? So we are running some like 616 server festivities all the way up until June 25th, which is our server's 4th birthday. So now would be a great time to join if you're not already a part of the server. So come party with us.